Well, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody, to another Live Free and Ham live stream. I'm Eric, call sign N1JUR, and tonight we have got some great stuff in store. We've got Mark has graciously come back from Halibut Electronics, but we'll bring him in a bit. We're going to be talking some great stuff. You know, this is kind of all of our primers. If you've been kind of paying attention to some of the other stuff that's going on with with the Northeast Ham Radio Group guys, we're talking about Hamfest, and you know, we've been talking, in, you know, quite a bit about Hamfest in general. I think you might be getting sick of it, but either way, the way I kind of say, I'm super psyched. I mean, Ham X is coming up, and we are getting geared up for it. I think it's the 22nd to the 25th of August. So if you are doing nothing, block your calendar off. Head down there. There's some great, great vendors, Mark being definitely one of them. But we've got some great friends and other companies like Reliance. I mean, we're all big Reliance users here. Yeah, correct. You know, we all love our Reliance antennas. Awesome. Okay. Well, Matt will be there too as well. And, make sure, you keep an eye out on all our channels, because Matt will probably be back on just like Mark to chit chat about some of the stuff he's doing down there. I'm excited. This should be a fun event. I always love having Mark on. I'm a big, I'm a little bit of a fanboy when it comes to ham radio workbench. So I love hearing about all their antics, especially what Mark's working on. But before we kind of dive into that, guys, how's life been with you guys? What's your ham radio week been like? And, Mike, since you are, our natural normal fixture, Mr. Six, you have to give us your official title, because it's obviously not in the sub section there. How's it been going your ham radio week?
Yeah, no, I jokingly, I referred to myself right before the show as the six man for for the crew coming off the bench. So, thanks for putting me in, coach. No, happy to join you guys. Yeah, no, it's been good. You see, I mentioned it on the happy hour.
Oh, yes.
Right behind me Saturday, Rochester VHF group, which I'm a member of out here in Western New York, had their annual tune-up and picnic. And it was really cool getting out with these guys and just seeing people make their first contacts on 10 gigahertz and just some real cool, wild stuff. There's a big VHF group in Western New York and Southern Ontario, Canada. So a lot of activity on the high bands out this way. So it was neat to see. I haven't done any of it myself. I'm still kind of new to that, but it was really cool to check out. And so that a lot of fun, and I got a video on it that'll be dropping later this week. So stay tuned.
Oh, very cool. Well, yeah. I'm super happy, because I got as many as the HRC crew got to do a team replay there and watch that. And that was a really good event. So it was good to see more VHF, UHF. I got a little story I'm going to share in a second, but so we'll go over to Todd here real quick. So Todd, what's your ham radio week been like? Or so far, if at all.
Yeah, it hasn't been really too eventful. I haven't been out to do a park in a while. I'm hoping to do one this week. That's the plan. Maybe Thursday I might be going out with Paul. And what'd you say?
I said, oh.
Yeah, we're talking about that park that we've been talking about doing all summer. So Thursday seems to work for me and him. So that's probably going to be a plan. That the issue is basically what time. But as for working on ham radio stuff, I did get the weed whacker with the blade on it, and I started attacking my yard, and I started clearing out where my antenna is going to go, the DX Commander.
Yeah, so, right. You say it's a special antenna. It's not just
any. Yeah, my DX Commander. I've cleared this area out now for the third time. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps growing back. So I'm doing it really good this time. I'm chopping the crap out of it, and I'm going to put some brush killer or whatever to see if I can get it to stay down. Mm-hmm. But it's a work in progress, but I did make some progress today.
Wow, very cool. Well, we're looking forward to it too, because I know you've got that. You've got grounding to do. You got cable, and trenching. The list.
My go box.
It's never ending, and it keeps piling up. And then guess what? September's here,
and my shack is a disaster, and I got to clean that. So I keep waiting for the rainy day, but every time there's a rainy day, I got something going on. So
you might want to pray for a hurricane. That might be the only way you're going to get in the shack to get stuff done.
Yeah.
very cool. Well. So as you might notice, one of our faithful, hosts here is MIA at the moment. Paul, he, N1OG, he is busy, you know, dominating his softball men's championships. So we wish him luck and hope, you know, he's having fun there and, you know, he better come back with a win, you know, otherwise he's just going to get hazed, you know, for the next couple of shows for sure. But, you know, all good fun. We're glad, you know, he's out, you know, representing and having some fun. At least he's exercising. I know I'm just drinking beer here and, you know, talking on the radio, you know, so if anything, that's not helping my health, but it's another story for another day. So, with me, oh man, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, I haven't played much radio, although, I've made a few contacts, you know, with, Rob. I know Rob was doing a couple of Twitter activations in the past and Izzo and the like. So I just, you know, made the effort to, you know, try to at least reach out them off the flex, but, yeah, I've got some interesting projects on the horizon. I finally finished my 3D prints for my HF install on the truck. So videos are going to be, you know, hopefully getting wrapped up there. And I just got one of my favorite things in. I'm a big tool nut when it comes to like tools and stuff. So all my tool cases tend to have like foam inserts in them. And, you know, I spent a little money. If you ever seen like those tool kits where they cut out the shapes for all of the wrenches and everything else like that, you know, I kind of said, well, why can't I do this in the ham radio world? So I reached out to one of my favorite foam cutting places and lo and behold, they shipped me some stuff. So I'm looking forward to putting a video together of that and sharing some of those experiences because I'd love to be able to put my DX10 and a few other radios in a better, you know, Pelican style case where, you know, the foam isn't that crappy stuff that comes out of the Harbor Freight. You guys ever deal with any of that?
Yeah, yep. the pull. Yeah. What do they call it? The pull foam.
Yeah, the pull foam. Pick and pluck.
pick and pluck. Yeah. It lasts about one time, and then it just starts falling apart on me. So
yeah. This foam is pretty cool. It's actually got like two layers of color. So I'll cut out the black section, and then the like whatever color I have on the base will come through. So I'm looking forward to like you know geeking out my cases. So it'll be pretty cool to you know put a video out on that soon. So yeah, cool. All right. Well, so let's, you know, kind of go a little further. Obviously, you know, just the usual. If you haven't head over to livefreeandham.com/shop, you know, we got a bunch of different t-shirts there. Obviously, it's still available if you're interested in picking up the Hostile Takeover t-shirt that we did with the Ham Radio Clubhouse. That'll be in the storefront until the end of the month. So make sure you get that, you know, and don't waste any time. There's discount code is still available. So if you can figure it out, yeah, Mike's wearing it.
I got mine right now.
Do a spin, Mike, do a spin. No, just kidding. There we go. That is the official shirt, man.
No idea what you saw, but I think you were for it.
So yeah. So with that, you can still pick it up and it's still available in for the end of the month. After that, it is gone. You know, we've got a bunch of other stuff in there that we're producing. So, you know, definitely head over there and check it out. And again, that discount code still applies. So it's the HRC rules is the 20% off code there. So you can still grab a good t-shirt and anything in the shop and it's 20% off. So outside of that, you know, so let's bring in our guest here because, you know, he deserves all the credit. He is the man of the hour. You know, we love Mark. He's done some amazing stuff for the hobby, in the hobby, with all of his stuff that he's produced from Halib Electronics. But the benefit is that, you know, if you're in the New England area and you're looking to meet Mark and hang out and check out some of his stuff, he will be at Huntsville, I should say, first before HamX, because HamX is a little after. But if you're going to Huntsville, you know, he will definitely be there. And so you can check him out there. But more so close enough to us in the New England area, he'll be at HamX and he'll be, you know, setting up a booth there and he'll be talking, having a couple of, seminars on OHIS as well. So without further ado, let's bring in Mark. Mark, welcome. Oh, audio. We've had technical difficulties, Captain. The batteries have run low today. I'll give him a second there to get adjusted. Oh, getting there. Earth to Mark. Nope, no audio yet.
No audio.
he's. We'll let him keep working on that one while he's there and just yell at us when we get going there. So, So let's kind of do a little bit of background while Mark's sitting there doing some technical fixes. With you know, Ham X, or Ham Exposition as it's officially known. Any of you guys planning on going this year?
I would love to, but it's just I'm not going to be able to make it. I looked into it for a bit, but it's just not gonna fly this year. But
okay, well, you'll be missed, Mike. I know Todd. Yeah. You and I are planning on going, right?
Yeah, I'm going. Hopefully Friday, and then Saturday. I am leaving Saturday night for the Cape, so I won't be there
the whole day.
Right, I won't be there. Well, I'll probably be there most of the day. We just won't be there in the evening. Yeah, every time there's a ham radio event, field day, ham X, you name it, I've got things something going on. I got a vacation coming up. I missed field day because I was driving to North Carolina, but I did work it. I did get my POTA activation on Saturday. Sunday morning I worked some I did a POTA activation, so I did get field day in, but yeah. So I didn't realize it was the same time. I looked on the calendar. I'm like, I looked Friday Saturday when we were looking at it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good. And then I didn't realize that it said Sunday, it said Cape, and I'm like, oh, when are we leaving for the Cape? And oh, we're leaving Saturday night. So well, I already said, I said, well, we're leaving Saturday night when I get back from Hammocks.
No audio yet, Mark.
Well, he's muted.
Oh, right, you're muted now. Go ahead, Mark. Let's we unmute. Yeah. How about now?
There. Oh, there you go.
All right. Just a little bit of a boost there.
Was that maybe that's what it was the whole time.
Yeah.
You not being able to hear me, it probably was, but this has been. Yes, and I saw whoever it was that made the joke about the audio.
That would be Steve. You can take it up with Steve at Huntsville there. He'll be there.
All right. Back on my headset audio, so this should be better.
All right, okay. Good to go.
Cool. Well, we'll keep plowing away here. No big deal there, you know. Yeah, not going to hurt. Not going to hurt the numbers. We're not worried about it. We'll just edit it in post. AI to the rescue. Cool. Well, okay. Yeah. So, you know, how are you, Mark?
Yeah. Actually, I'm doing really well. I'm on in a hotel right now in Santa Barbara doing a contract gig for somebody, but completely unrelated to Halibut Electronics, just trying to pull in some extra cash. But I just launched Eggnogs last Friday, and I am super excited about that.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we definitely want to dive in a little bit more on that one and talk a little bit about maybe some of you know, the other things you might be doing either Huntsville. You doing any talks at Huntsville at all, or just doing Halibut?
I don't think I'm doing a talk at Huntsville. I talked about it with them, and they said they were full because I registered kind of late. The Ham Exposition folks, though, I am doing a talk on OHIS at HamX, so I'll be there for both of those consecutive weekends from California. That'll be fun.
But, are you staying on the East Coast, or are you going back and forth?
No, so I looked at what it would cost to stay on the East Coast, and it's cheaper for me to fly back home and then fly out.
Wow.
And flights in and out of SFO are reasonably priced, but SFO is about 3.5 to 4 hours north of where I live. However, SFO is about half an hour from my sister and brother-in-law. And so I will be staying with them for those 3 or 4 days between Huntsville and Hammax.
Wow. Okay. Well, that definitely works. I mean, it's not like driving in a big box truck into the middle of Iowa for 40 straight and then back shortly after that. Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine, man. Nevertheless, try to figure out how to mount an antenna to a box truck. I never knew that was so complex and so difficult to do.
So I got one of those mounts that's supposed to mount on the thin aluminum bar that's holds on old school truck mirrors, right? It's at 3/8 of an inch or whatever it is. But then I got like a brand new truck that has the big plastic ones that like you see on F-150s or whatever, where the mirrors can go in and out, but it's this big plastic thing and you can't clamp anything to that. Yeah. So anyway, so I ended up mounting it to the handles that are on the back of the box truck to help you get up into the box truck. But that means I had to get feed line through the box to the back of the. Yeah. Anyway, it was fun. I made it work.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, and you made some good contact. So if you have no idea what we're alluding to and you're not a ham radio workbench listener, you need to go to I can't remember what episode. What's the latest episode? Is it, it's been a while.
About field day.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's a good episode there. And he talks all about his, challenges with trying to do field day from a U-Haul box truck, which will go down in history for sure. So cool. All right. Well,
operated one Charlie before, so that was fun.
U-Haul one Charlie. You sure saying you should have gotten you should have gotten a Vanity call sign. That's right. All right. Well, so you're obviously heading down to two really good conventions there. Obviously Huntsville, which we'll touch a little bit there. But so what kind of stuff do you want to like get into in terms of like what should people expect to see from Mark down there? Anything new? What's going on?
So, the new product I have right now is called Eggnogs. It is a kit to help you build an egg beater antenna. And it was originally conceived of for use with the SatNogs network. So egg beater antenna on the SatNogs network, the naming pun was too good to pass up. So it became Eggnogs. having said that, it will work on any quadrature-fed antenna, not just an egg beater, and it will work with any satellite system, not just SatNox. So the name makes it sound more limited than it actually is, but it's all good. So do you know what an egg beater antenna is? Would you like me to go into what that is?
Yeah. Go ahead for our audience who might not be well-versed.
Yeah, so an egg beater antenna is a antenna whose radiation pattern is roughly hemispherical. The idea is that you don't want to put out any energy down because that is not where the satellites are. You want to be able to put out energy at the sides to the horizon and directly above you, right? If you have a vertical antenna, just like a standard quarter wave width, that's great horizon, but it's got a deep null straight up. It has no radiation straight up. And so that makes satellite operations a real challenge with using a vertical antenna. So what we want is an antenna with a roughly hemispherical radiation pattern. You want a little bit more gain at the horizon because the satellites are a lot farther away. They're a lot closer to you when they're straight overhead. So some gain down on going straight up is okay. So you want most of it out at the horizon, but you still want to have some gain directly above you. You want to have some radiation directly above you. You don't want a null. Mm-hmm. And so that's what an egg beater antenna is. Electrically, it is two full wave loops mounted vertically at right angles to each other. And so you end up with this, the one I recommend is a rectangular, but it also works with circular. You end up with these two loops and then, they're at right angles to each other. So when you're looking down at it from on top, it looks like a cross.
Right.
So they are mounted physically 90 degrees from each other, and you feed them electrically 90 degrees from.
Nope. Your mic.
Yeah, I lost them.
Your mic went away again. Dang it.
I thought it was me. I'm like, what happened? It just got silence.
Yeah, weird. Right. Okay, there you go.
Right, you're back now.
I'm back now? Okay.
Yep.
And so anyway, you need to have a quarter wavelength worth of transmission line between the feed point for one loop and the other loop. And these loops are 100 ohms, and they're balanced antennas, and there's a bunch of other stuff going on at the feed line, so it really should be shielded because there's a lot of interactions with the near field. So what you want is 100-ohm, balanced, shielded feed line.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been able to find 100 ohm balanced shielded
feed line.
Right? So you can hack it. You can compromise by using two parallel lengths of 50 ohm coax, or there's a old coax called RG62, which was used back in the early days of computer networking for a mm-hmm. network called ArcNet. It's roughly 92 ohms, which is pretty darn close to 100 ohms. So mm-hmm. if you used a quarter wave of RG62, that also kind of works. But these are all compromises. And the epiphany moment I had was the realization that there are calculators out there that, like, if you want to run RF on a trace on a circuit board, your trace needs to be the right width with the right spacing to the ground plane, like on a different layer, and the ground pores next to it. Like, all of that geometry, there are calculators out there to say, how do I lay this out so that it is a 50 ohm feed line on this circuit board, right? And so if you want to keep the impedance on that circuit board, you have to make the, you know, the correct trace width and the correct spacing and all of that fun stuff. But that got me thinking that there's no reason that I can't also do balanced lines on the circuit board. And in fact, if I can calculate what the geometry has to be for 50 ohms, I should be able to calculate what the geometry is for 100 ohms. And if I calculate that geometry, assuming the two layers are the two pieces of the feed line, the two wires of the feed line are on inner layers, mm-hmm. and I put copper pores on the outer layers, I can now calculate the correct geometry to make 100 ohm balanced feed line.
Nice.
And because I'm laying it out on a circuit board, I can make it exactly the correct length down to a fractional millimeter, right? And so my epiphany was that I went out and I did all of this math to go figure out what that geometry is, because there aren't any obvious calculators online for that anymore. So, like, I had to go back to first principles, but I had to go back to actual math.
Oh boy.
I know, right? It was a stretch. College was 25 years ago. My last calculus class was probably 28 years ago. Anyway, but I went out and I figured out what all of that math was, and I ran through the numbers and I figured out the geometry, and I laid out a circuit board to do the phasing loop. So my quarter wavelength phasing loop is on a circuit board, and I can have them mass produced, and I know exactly where they measure and all that fun stuff. So anyway, I got the boards, I hooked up connectors to them, I measured the phase delay, mm-hmm. And sure enough, it's 90 degrees. Took a couple of iterations to get there. It's not like I got there on the first try, but I've got exactly 90 degree phase shifts in these boards. And so with eggnogs, it is it's called, actually, can you bring up, am I allowed to present?
Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah, if you got a go ahead screen, just go down to present, and I'll pop you on the dashboard.
Share screen.
I should have let you know that.
Entire screen. Okay.
Or you could do a window if you got something. There you go.
Yep. No. Okay. All right. Sweet. So can you see my browser?
Yeah, we're good to go.
Okay. So this is the webpage on my website for eggnogs. This is the site that you would go to buy it. But really, that header's going to be in the way? anyway, these are all the parts that come in the kit. So you have the main circuit board, this kind of round circular one. It just has traces. There's nothing exciting on it. But you'll note that it has those two slots in the middle. And then there are two tabs on this one over here, this rectangular board. This rectangular board is the phasing board. So the quarter wavelength feed line is inside this board. And these tabs just solder into those slots to make it, to connect it to this. So the feed line is down here, the feed point, you put a SMA or a BNC connector down here. It's mm-hmm. got a spot for a common mode current choke. And then it does the quarter wave phasing delay here. And then it feeds to the two different loops up here. So this is what comes in the kit. Those two circuit boards, there's a pre-drilled PVC cap that is used for mechanical stuff, a section of RG316 and a binocular core that's used for the common mode current choke, and then a bunch of stainless steel hardware.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that it comes with all of the parts you can't get at your local hardware store. when you have it entirely built, it looks like this. So, you know, there's the main board, and you can kind of see how you solder in those connectors on that tab, those tabs there. And then the phasing board hangs down from the circular one. There's the common mode current choke, and you see the SMA in the back. This is what it looks like in my see-through PVC cap. Oh, nice. The magic of Dremel tool.
I see what you did there.
Yep. I was
precision machining
PVC cap. Yep, exactly. You know, so like the round main board screws through the holes of the PVC cap, and then up here is where you attach the antenna.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And you know, the phasing board hangs down, and the idea is that that PVC cap is on top of a section of 2-inch PVC pipe that you can get at the local hardware store. That acts as a mast. And then these rectangular loops here are the aerial loops. So these are the full wave.
And what's that wire type?
So the wire and the PVC pipe do not come in the kit, because mm-hmm. those are things you can get at the local hardware store. This wire happens to be 14 gauge Romex.
Okay.
Just the solid core copper wire that I pulled out of some scrap Romex I had around after my shop build. 14 gauge works fine for UHF band. This one is cut for 436. For VHF, I can make a 10 gauge Romex wire, solid core copper wire work, but it's a little floppy. Some like aluminum strap would also work as a common method of building this. But if you look at the PVC cap, I don't know how hard it is to see. I'm going to try and put my cursor right on top of it. Do you see that little divot right there?
Yep.
So there's a little dark spot right there that when I run this cap through my mill that does the automatic drilling of those things out, it also does what I call a boop. It just kind of boops the center, the absolute center of that antenna, right? So the four holes are in very precise locations, and then it does just a little tiny divot there. The divot is still waterproof right now, but if you want to build some sort of a structure that goes up from the center of the feed point and supports the top of the egg beater, you know, that little boop there just tells you where the exact center of your PVC cap is.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, you know, you can use that as a starter hole to drill out and put the structural stuff on there. But so eggnogs, you know, comes with all of these parts, and then you buy the PVC pipe and the copper wire or whatever materials you want to use for that. That's all stuff you can get at the local hardware store. The kit comes with all the stuff that you can't get at the local hardware store. Okay, fine. Yes, you can get stainless steel hardware at the local hardware store.
Why rummage through the bin when Mark does it?
I'm including it.
Yeah. So a couple of things. So in terms of the antenna, what's like kind of the optimum height level for this? Well, actually, too, I should back up a little bit. So in terms of the antenna itself, is it only receive only, or is there an option for transmit capabilities, or what's that kind of looking at right now?
So obviously receive works well. you can transmit through it.
Okay.
I haven't figured out what the upper bound of the power handling is. I know it will handle at least 5 or 10 watts all day long without even thinking about it.
Okay.
My goal is 50 watts.
Oh.
If I can get to 50 watts, then I will consider that done, and it does not require any additional work on it. My logic behind that is that the gain of an egg beater antenna is roughly that of a dipole, whereas the gain of a Yagi is hand wavy 10 dB better than that. It depends on how many elements in your Yagi and all that fun stuff. But if you look at an arrow, like the handheld antennas that are used for satellites, I think the VHFs are like 8 dB and the UHF is 13 dB or whatever. So hand wave, call it 10 dB of gain. So if we can make up for that gain by letting you transmit 10 dB more of power than you can on an HT into an arrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So HT is going to be 5 watts into an arrow, will give you 50 watts equivalent. So if I can get the ability to transmit 50 watts through eggnogs, then that'll be good.
Okay.
My testing has gone as high as 17 watts at the antenna, and it did not blow up. Nothing melted. It got pretty warm. Mm-hmm. I think it got up to 50 or 60 degrees Celsius. But that was after like 2 or 3 minutes of constant FM transmission at 17 watts. Right. So short bursts like you're going to use on a satellite, not a problem at all. I'm not comfortable putting any of this in writing yet because there's still more testing to be done. Comfortable saying 5 to 10 watts all day long. Like if you've got it hooked up to an HT or something and you accidentally transmit into it, you're not going to blow anything up. It'll be fine.
So no warranties written or expressed or implied.
Exactly. Now, having said that, Eggnogs is just the first in a series of products that I'm working on. The next product I'm going to be releasing is called Ampnogs.
Ooh, okay.
Ampnogs is a low noise amplifier. It's a little LNA that amplifies your receive signal. Now, if you've got a high noise floor nearby, Ampnogs isn't going to do a whole lot for you. There's not a lot you can do about that. But as if you're losing signal on the transmission line, the feed line, as it comes down to your radio, Ampnogs can compensate for that. And so it's just this small little tiny board that screws directly onto the bottom of Eggnogs, right? So with Eggnogs, you saw an SMA female socket pointing down. Ampnogs will be just a little tiny board with a male on one side and a female on the other, and you literally just screw it straight to the antenna. It gets power through the coax, so the bias T powers it. And if you remove bias T power, then a relay closes and bypasses the amplifier.
Oh, nice. Right?
So no power, the amplifier is removed from the circuit, and you connect directly to the antenna. With bias power, then the LNA gets put into circuit with, you know, the relay switches over to its normally open state, and the amplifier is in the path, which means with radios that can switch the bias power on transmit, like the ICOM 9700.
We all have one, right?
I wish I did too.
But you can configure the 9700 to remove bias power 10 milliseconds before it starts transmitting, or you can configure that time there.
Oh, nice.
And so that will let you still have the LNA at the antenna, but also still be able to transmit.
Very cool.
And for radios that don't have that ability, I am making a third product called T-Nogs, T-E-A-Nogs, just to stick with the drink theme.
I see a pattern forming.
I know, right?
Unfortunately, I haven't come up with a good way of continuing that pattern with some other products that I'm working on. I'll tell you about in a second. But T-Nogs is a bias T injector. You can give it Anderson power pole, USB-C, or it'll take bias power from the radio, like if the radio is already providing bias power. And then it has an RCA port input that is a PTT signal. So when that RCA port is either active high or active low, it's configurable. When that PTT triggers, then it will remove the bias power from the feed line. So if you have a radio that cannot switch the bias power automatically, but you can get a PTT signal out of it, then T-Nogs will do that bias power removal for
you. Nice. Cool.
So basically, the whole ecosystem together should give you a no moving parts satellite antenna that has enough gain on receive to be able to compensate for feed line losses, right? And if you've got a low enough noise floor, then you'll actually get some benefit out of that as well on the receive signal. And then hopefully also be able to handle transmit up to 50 watts.
Wow.
Like with the whole system together. So my goal is to be able to make a satellite operational station without an azimuth and elevation rotor, right?
Wow.
No moving parts. That's my goal. That's what I want. That's what I want on my shack at home.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
That's what I'm building.
No,
so
no.
It, it Sorry, go ahead, Eric.
No, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the questions. It's satellites. It's something I haven't done yet. It's on the to-do list this year. Definitely, I want to at least make one contact or something. And I got some of the pieces together. I do have an Elk dual band antenna, I got an older ICOM IC32, which is a full duplex HT from like the late 80s, early 90s. And I got it at my club's annual auction they do every November. So I got that from like an estate sale, and it worked. I use it all the time.
What's that? Silver radio, the bright silver radio.
I should go up. It's up in my kitchen. I use it regularly to check into nets and stuff. It works great. Okay. You know, I just had to replace the battery because they're the old NiCads, right?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and it's probably been dead for like 2 decades. But but the thing's great. It looks like it's straight out of the 80s. And whether I use that or something else, you know, when I was looking at eggnogs, my understanding of a lot of satellites, with the exception of something like Green Cube, you know, you're going to be, you need VHF and UHF generally, you know, you have an uplink and a downlink. So for somebody is what, when you're talking about having a satellite station, that's not going to require some sort of rotor or whatever, you've got that hemispherical radiation pattern. You're going to build, someone's probably going to want to build both one for, you know, 2 meters and then for 70 centimeters, right? Generally, that's the thought. Okay.
Yeah. So I have at home, I only have a UHF station right now, and it's not transmit capable. My UHF station is hooked up to SatNogs. So if anybody who's watching this wants to go see, I'm not going to say that right now because it is having issues, because it is currently beta testing a new product that I'm working on, but anyway, SatNog station 2704 is my SatNog station.
Okay.
Right now I have AmpNogs hooked up to it, but I've also got a cell tower that is directly across the street that is pummeling the front end of my ONA. And it is just absolutely saturated.
Man, how do you do ham radio at all at your location? You have AM issues. You have antenna. Is there anything you don't?
15 kilowatts of AM. That's about three kilometers away. I've got 100 watts of FM, FM broadcast. That's about 4,000 feet away that I didn't know about just recently. And who knows how many watts of cellular up at 650 megahertz?
Oh boy,
all of this is obliterating my SDR receiver, because SDRs have no front end. They have no, literally no pre-selection. That's the whole point, right? They want to be able to receive DC to daylight. Mm-hmm. So you can't put any filtering on that thing and still, without making it switched filtering. And so you have lots of different bands worth of filters, and then you have to switch in the correct one. And that would just be way too expensive for something like a RTL SDR dongle. So they cannot have any front end filtering. So because of this problem, I designed a filter. It's called an AM BCI, stands for broadcast interference. So it's a BCI filter. The first one I designed was for that AM station, which I knew about and assumed was the source of all of my problems. So I made a BCI filter that filters out AM, but is designed to pass VHF and UHF, right? So it filters out like below 2 megahertz and then passes above 50 megahertz. I think that was the range I was going for. And because that's such a giant range, it's very easy to design a filter that will do that. It's only three components, 2 capacitors and 1 inductor. And they're all surface mount, and it's on a board, and you can buy it on my website right now. So if you're being blown out by an AM broadcast station, go to electronics.halibut.com and look for the BCI filter. And that thing will knock out all your AM broadcasts. But then I found the FM station. So I designed one that did AM and FM, but blocking at 108 megahertz and passing at 137 megahertz, because I want this to work for weather satellites as well. That is a much narrower transition, right? Between 40 dB of block at 108 megahertz and 0.1 dB of insertion loss at 137 megahertz. That's a much narrower frequency range to make that transition. So that filter is much more complicated. It's a 7-pole high pass, and it wanted it inside a metal can for shielding and all kinds of things. So I now have an AM-FM BCI filter that is not yet available, but I have all the parts at home that's just waiting for me to make a web page for it and then start selling it. So the AM-FM BCI filter, if you're getting clobbered by FM broadcast, then this will help you. And cool. I put that on my station, and my front end was still being clobbered. It's like, okay, so what else is it? And I finally got, instead of just tuning around on my RTL, I actually got out my tiny SA and hooked it up to the antenna. And sure enough, I found that cell power coming from across the street.
You are literally in a test bed environment, totally.
I literally am. So I made a third version of my BCI filter. That is AM FM cell BCI. And so instead of being just a high pass where it's got very little insertion loss all the way up to 3 gigahertz like the other ones, this one is a band pass. And so the pass band is between 137 megahertz to include the weather satellites and up to 450 megahertz. So that's the goal, is 137 to 450. Mm-hmm. And then it is trying to block everything else outside of that. So that range, there's a little bit more insertion loss on this one. So that range is 1 dB or less of insertion loss, but it is 40 dB. I'm sorry, it is 35 dB right at the edge of the FM broadcast band, but 40 dB everywhere else below it.
Wow.
So, and then same on the upward side. It's 35 dB on the first hump of the, frequency analysis, the frequency spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But then everything above that is 40 dB or more of attenuation. So
cool.
That third one has not been built yet. I had to buy a bunch of new parts for it, and it took a while for those parts to come in to JLC PCP. So, but they've got them now, and as soon as I get home, I'll be able to order that filter and actually test it out.
And that is what, like 3 weeks, probably, with all,
I will
all
be
the conventions.
For one day this week, and then I turn around and leave again. So I'll be home for one day in the next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Kiss the spouse, say hello, and then walk out the door and off again.
Yep. Get a very fresh cool. load of clean underwear and
back. Yeah. All right. Well, so a couple of things. Obviously, you know, you're going to be at HamX, and we are super excited to have you there because, you know, as we all know in New England, we are, always looking for the big guys. And this year, I think HamX has kind of come back and delivered. They're bringing Flex. They're bringing Halibut Electronics. They're bringing Reliance Antenna and a boatload of other bigger guys. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to seeing all of those vendors there. But more so, like, you know, obviously, Mark, you mentioned just a touch on the OHIS stuff. You know, maybe talk a little bit about that, kind of, you know, your presentation, or, you know, allude to your presentation, you know, and, you know, if there's anything you want to talk in terms of, you know, maybe alluding to a contest console.
So contesting console is out now. It's the station console that everybody's banging down my door for.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so OHIS, Open Headset Interconnect Standard, is a standard I am proposing and advocating for in the community to standardize the interface between the radio and the user. Right now, every radio manufacturer has their own microphone connector, their own pinouts. Even some manufacturers don't even use the same kind of microphones. So even with a adapter cable, you can't make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a pain in the butt, and I would love to see that standardized. So I wrote up a standard and have been advocating for it. It's called OHIS, and thank you for putting the link in the chat there. Open Headset Interconnect Standard. So I will be giving a talk at HamX on the standard itself, and what it is and why it is, and
why you need it,
using it, and why you need it, and all that fun stuff. Take off my standards advocacy hat and put on my commercial product hat. I also do sell adapters for it, but it being an open standard, I encourage people to make their own, to not buy from me, to build a competing product with me. to price me out of the market of adapters, please, by all means, make it so that I am not the only one selling these adapters. Because if we get to that state, then that's a sign that it's being adopted, and that makes me happy. I want this to be adopted way more than I want to be able to want to be selling adapters. Now, what I do want to be selling are devices that go between the radio and the user and actually adds new functionality, like the contesting console that we were just talking about. And that is much easier to do with OHIS. Without OHIS, then I need to build in all of the complexity of what kind of microphone are you plugging into this? What kind of output from the radio is it? Is it speaker level? Is it headphone level? Is it line level? You know, is it stereo? Is it mono? Is it ground referenced or not? Blah, 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 blah. All of that complexity that OHIS deals with would have to be built into every single product that goes between the radio and the user without OHIS. Yep. So the contesting console, all right, so you've got some products on the screen there. The OHIS user adapter kit. Oh, okay. Oh,
let me back up one. Yeah, sorry. Just, you know, I'm browsing already, and as you know. Yeah.
So we've got the user, take my money. You've got the user adapter kit, which is a open source kit version of the HHH User Pro, which is just below it. The User okay. Pro is my commercial product. They accomplish roughly the same thing. The User Pro is, you know, it looks more like a product. It's not a plastic case. It's got, it has one extra feature, but they roughly accomplish the same thing. Then that converts your headset to the standard. And now your headset, once you have one of these on your headset, then that headset is now standards compliant. Look over at the HHI Radio Pro. That is a radio adapter. You put one of these on every radio that you have, and now your radio is standards compliant. It also has a pass-through. So like when you plug the adapter into your radio, you're plugging it into the microphone port on the front of the radio, which means you can't plug the radio's microphone into the microphone port on the radio, right? Because you just use that port. So the Radio Pro passes that port through to the other side. So you can plug your radio's microphone into the Radio Pro and then plug your Radio Pro into the radio. And it does all of the switching and everything. When you press the PTT on the OHIS stuff, that microphone gets sent to the radio. Otherwise, the normal microphone goes to the radio. Very cool. Once you have these adapters on your radios and your headsets, then in the middle, you have the standard interface, and you can plug any headset into any adapter. At a home station, this isn't all that exciting, but if you go to a multi-user environment like a club station or a contesting station or an EOC or a field day event, where I show up to this event and I've got my own headphones and I don't want you getting your ear goobers in my headphones and you don't want my ear goobers into your headphones, right? So we each want to have our own headphones that we can bring and plug into any radio and not have to worry about what radio I'm plugging my headset into and do I have the correct adapter for the pairing of that headset to that radio. And if I go to a different radio, I need a different adapter for that headset to that radio, right? With OHIS, I have one adapter for my headset. That's it. And that headset is now standards compliant. One adapter for that radio, and that's it. And that radio is now standards compliant. Okay, that's OHIS. When you have that, and that standard layer in the middle, it also makes it a lot easier to put devices between the radio and the user. And that's what the contesting console is. It is the first product of mine of the console series. It is two users, one radio.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that you've got two users that are operating. I designed it for kind of a casual field day style operating, where I've got one person that's operating the radio and another person who is listening and logging, right? So
right.
You've got one person, you know, mm-hmm. CQ Field Day, N6MTS, blah, blah, blah. And someone sitting next to me who's listening to the person calling back and saying, you know, giving their call sign and they're typing it in. But occasionally we want to be able to chat with each other. And was that a KF6 or, you know, what was the call sign? And so it provides an intercom. So
oh, nice.
The users have an intercom between each other. You can adjust the volume of the other person's microphone. You both can hear the radio. You can hear each other. And then whichever user presses their PTT, their microphone gets sent to the radio.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
So normally I'm the one who's operating, so I'm going to be pressing my PTT. My mic will go to the radio. When I'm pressing my PTT, my mic is going to the radio. If the person next to me, the logger, starts talking, I can still hear them, but their mic is not going to the radio.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
So
okay.
You can do that. However, if both of you press your PTT, then both of your audios will go up to the radio.
You can always build a better idiot. That's just the way it goes. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, that wasn't intentional. It was just kind of an artifact of how the circuit worked out.
Cool.
So that's a contesting console. It's okay. Got a couple of other little features. Like there's an ambient microphone on the box itself. So if you want to hear what's going on around you, like somebody comes up and says, dinner's ready. You don't want to miss that message. So you can turn up the ambient and it just has like a little men's microphone in the box and you can hear what's going on around you. Or if you want to block out the world, you can turn that down. Similarly, if people like somebody comes up and wants to know what you're doing, they want to hear both sides of the conversation. Normally the radio's receiver's in my headset. I can't hear it. Or the person outside can't hear it. So right. There's a speaker power amplifier in there. You hook up an external speaker and there's another knob to play the receive audio from the radio. So if it's night and you want to be quiet, you turn that knob all the way down.
See, that'd be
coming up. You want to demonstrate what's going on. You turn that knob up and they can hear it.
Yeah. That'd be great for a field day.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
You know, because I'm always working with my headphones on and then people come and they can't hear. So it'd be perfect.
Yep.
Totally.
So that's now, exactly what contesting consoles attempts to
do. Did I hear somewhere in some HR workbench that George did test this in his trailer, or is that not true?
I don't believe George has tested it in his trailer. I need to get him some. No, actually, Steve, if I remember correctly, is one of the people, KO4AFL,
yep.
Who's in the chat room. I believe Steve is one of the folks who has used it.
Yep.
Steve, keep me from being a liar here.
Keep him honest there.
Yeah, keep me honest there. But I have it in my trailer. There we go. So Steve uses it in his trailer. And, I mean, I use it for my field day. In fact, I designed the first version of Contesting Console 10 years ago. But I designed it for this specific headset and this specific radio. Because I had an FT920 at the time, and I was using PC gaming headsets because they were cheap.
Yep.
And so I had all of the same features with the mixers and the intercom and the PTT selection and all that fun stuff. So, and I've been using it for field day with our local club for the last 10 years, and it is wonderful.
Now I 100% agree with Mark. I have not had, like, in essence, now because we've had been cursed consistently with field day with rain, I have now decided that I'm going to convert my trailer into a makeshift, you know, ham communications trailer. So Paul is going to be towing it tomorrow, towing it to next field day. And so we'll have it there in the summertime. So I'm thinking, you know, why not just, you know, invest in a, you know, contest console. And so, you know, with this, you know, if you haven't been paying attention to Ham, Live Free and Ham, obviously we have a 10% discount. So there's no reason why you can't head over to Mark's website, pick one up and set this up in your shack, because I guarantee you will be totally 100% blown away with, you know, something as awesome as a contest console. But even so much the, you know, if you're like me, I got a DX10, I got a Flex, I've got, you know, a 450, I've got all these radios, but like, I can't tell you how many freaking headsets I've got, you know, piled over here in the corner. So I would love to simplify this. And, you know, in essence, you know, as I've always said,
we can't hear what he's saying.
Yeah, well, we'll have to fix that. Oh, man, of course. You know, that's so typical. You know, technical difficulty. So, yeah, bottom line is you need to run over to his website and pick one up. I am 100%, you know, sold on this one. And you know, I'm trying to push our club in that direction. So, you know, if you guys haven't figured that out, you need to, you know, jump on that bandwagon.
One of the things I'm really thinking that it might be interesting for, I'm going to do for the first probably for the first time, I'll rove during the September VHF contest. I like going out and doing Poda and Soda during the VHF contests in January, June, and September. It's fun. It's, you know, portable ops is my thing. And usually I just go set up in a summit or a park and activate on the high bands. But just over the weekend, one of the rovers was asking if I wanted to go in September. And because I haven't roved before. I think there's restrictions. Like it's usually like two people can be part of like a rover and or whatever. But if, you know, I'm curious to see how that goes. But something like this, being able to have, you know, work off the same radios and both have, you know, headsets, mics, not have to pass things back and forth, be able to easily do your logging separately, or maybe in a position where, you know, you're doing voice together on the same radio, but separate radios, you're doing digital modes or something else. And you got like that free, it just, I can see some value in this possibly, definitely for something as quirky as I do, like I said, the VHF contesting and stuff and roving, but no, this is cool.
Very cool.
So I am not a contester, so I only learned about a different mode of contesting after I released Contesting Console and everybody started asking me about it. I got so many people asking me about this. I'm like, I never knew this existed, of where you've got two operators operating two different radios in the same band.
Wow.
On voice, but as long as only one of them is transmitting at a time, they count as a single operator.
What? These rules, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh. And so you need a device that will interlock. And if I'm transmitting, it will prevent you from transmitting.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And so everyone kept asking, what happens when both people press their PTT? And like, first couple times, I didn't understand why they kept asking, but it was because they were looking for this interlock feature. It's not easy for me to add it to the current contesting console, but I'm working on, once I'm done with eggnogs and getting all of those six products out, I talked about eggnogs, T-nogs, ampnogs, and then the three BCI filters. Once I'll get all of that out and released, then I start working on my station console. Eric, you were just talking about how you have so many radios.
Mm-hmm.
The station, you know, where contesting console is two users, one radio, the station console is four radios, ooh, one user.
Yeah, I'm on that.
Yeah. So that's my next of the console products.
That'd be awesome.
I've kind of already started working on it, but I'm not going to go into any details here. But
now, are you going to expand that a little bit more towards like just only HF side, or we can just do like a blanket VHF, UHF, no matter what band, doesn't really matter?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't even have to be a radio. You can make a radio adapter that is a USB sound card instead of a radio on the other side. So you plug it into your computer, and now your computer's audio is getting mixed with your radios and sent into your headphones.
All right, very cool. Well, yeah. Dude, like I said, if I could run my, you know, quick, you know, thank you. Say, take my money. But anyway, so, all right, cool. Well, you know, so we're getting at the top of the hour here. So I just kind of wanted to do a quick touch ups, you know, recognize a few folks in the chat here. You know, we got Chris Knox, K1IP. He's on, he's been actually on my channel. I did a video on his roving, you know, HF, VHF, UHF setup, and beautiful setup. He's, I know, been at Dayton and a few others, and I'm sure he'll probably be at, you know, HamX as well. So looking forward to touching base with Chris again as well. And James there in the chat, hello, everybody. And, you know, thanks again for chiming in there. And then, you know, Steve doing a little bit of a dig here. You know, I won't leave Mark there. You know, we'll talk about SOAR later. You know, that's a process coming down the road. But we're all waiting patiently for that design to come up, because I will 100%, you know, be, you know, one of at least the 20 in line to be able to pick one up and try it out myself, because I would love to see, you know, some, you know, all in one satellite kit, because my satellite bag that I'm building keeps getting bigger and bigger instead of smaller and smaller. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
It's my first foray into actually doing real RF design. Mm-hmm. Which is one of the biggest things that's holding it up. Like, I can do audio, and I can do radio with modules from other people, but this one is like real honest to goodness RF design. And so it's a learning curve.
Well, very cool. All right. Well, hey, so, you know, we're, like I said, we're, you know, reaching that full hour there. So, you know, I want to make sure we just kind of go around here a little bit. You know, obviously we'll leave it to you, Mark, at the very end, so you can kind of give your full spiel and let everybody know where you're going to be at and, you know, where we can expect to see you and shake your hand and say hello. But, Mike, if you, you know, want to just take it, you know, just let us know what's going on in your channel, you know, anything you want to, you know, announce that's going coming up soon, and, you know, go ahead and take it away.
Well, first, I'm hoping to see Mark at a Hamfest. I know I'm not going to make it to Huntsville and Hamex. And I got to explain, you were out at Hamvention, right? Because I think yeah. Vince said that you were out there and I missed you. But I had a good excuse. I was just as I was going to look, because I didn't realize you're out there. And I was like, oh, I got to go find halibut. But I was out there with two of my buddies from New York, and they were doing the Hamvention Challenge. And one of them, Fred, N2RPG, was the one that won the 705. So they called me for help as I was trying to find the booth for halibut. And I got suckered into that, I think it was.
Participation is king. I think that's fantastic.
And that just, I mean, that if you watch the video that I did on that, you know, like they got that at the last second. I mean, Ray and company were ready to just like, we got to go. Like, yeah. So,
that's awesome.
But so sorry I missed you out in Dayton, but I know I'll be out there again, and I'll definitely looking forward to meeting up with you. I know I got to check out your I've been sitting on. I should probably just pull the trigger now, especially with the code, getting the common mode choke tester.
Oh yeah,
and so
big seller.
Yeah, no, that should be cool and everything. But as far as you know, what I got going,
man.
Yeah,
more of those than anything else right now.
Yeah. Yeah, what I got going on with the channel, I think, you know, like I'm in the same boat that Todd is, you know, being, you know, a parent with kids in sports and stuff, just getting pulled in, you know, every direction. Yeah. Every which way, but the right way. And but I find time when I can to get out there and play radio. I got a couple antenna projects I've been working on. I mean, one thing, and I'm not giving up on it. I haven't said what it is yet. I've had two failures, but hopefully the third time I get this antenna right, I'm doing something different that I don't know has been done before, or I haven't seen anyone do it yet. You know, it's I just suck at soldering and stuff. So it is what it is, but I'll get around to it. You know, like you learn from your mistakes, and I try to have fun. You know, you get frustrated, but at the end of the day, you know, in this hobby of hobbies, you know, that's how I've learned is by, you know, by borking it. So,
well, you're nothing like what Ham Radio Wilderness is soldering job. I'm sure it's probably a lot better than that.
Oh yeah, no, the solderoids. No, I'm not that bad. That made me feel good. You know, that's.
We'll leave a link in the chat. You know,
that's kind of like one. You know, and you need like that self esteem, and you just go to Walmart and people watch, and it's just like, okay, I feel better about myself now.
Well, that would just depress me. But anyway. I now have to go find some way of working your suggestion of a product name into of my product line.
Barrel aged Scotch Nog.
Scotch Nog. Yes.
I find some way of making that in there.
Very much so. Very much so. Cool. All right. Well, Todd, how about you? You know, any last final parting words? You know, anything you want to add to it? And, you know, what's going on with your channel or, you know, what's going on with you? Obviously, you're going to be away on vacation. So, you know,
no,
you're
active. I'm going to be I will be activated on vacation, of course. So don't worry about that. But, Mark, thanks for coming tonight. I look forward to meeting you in person at Hamex. I'll be there Friday and part of Saturday, I think, most of Saturday. And, you know, your stuff's awesome. I mean, it's you know, the stuff that you come up with is just, I mean, it just is like stuff like, wow, you know, you actually created that and it's great for ham radio. It's great for all of us. And, you know, just keep doing it. That's all I can say. It's going to go big, I think.
Very cool. Yeah. I'm 100%. Cool. All right. So, yeah, I guess, you know, Mark, so, you know, obviously let everybody know where you're at, what you uh-huh. have any booth locations or anything detail wise that they should know about or, you know, anything you want to, we'll say, tease.
It's not really a tease. I'm pretty upfront about this. I will be at Huntsville and Hamex consecutive weekends. I may be a little tired at Hamex. We'll see. I don't have a booth number. They don't have neither.
No,
of them
they don't
have
do booths
numbers.
At Hamex.
They just have a map, mm-hmm. and I can't remember where I am in the vendor area.
It's not very big. So it's yeah. one room. Yeah. So we'll find you.
I will be having common mode current choke test rigs and eggnogs with me to sell. I may or may not be able to bring too many OHIS devices. I've got limited space in what I can carry with me. So And eggnogs is kind of my big thing right now. So I'll be there. You mentioned Hamcation. I haven't actually committed to anything yet, but my goal is to get to Hamcation as well. That's in February?
Is that right? You got me, probably. Yeah, I can't think that far ahead.
So I will also be at PacificCon, which is in October, I think, in San Ramon, California. That's my local big one. I think that's it at this point.
Does HR Hammery Workbench do a booth there too? They didn't pass, or no? Was that what the other con that you guys did it as?
So George and Jeremy used to get a booth at Hamvention.
Okay.
But that kind of stopped with COVID, and then Jeremy left the podcast. And I've been back since COVID, but George has not been able to make it back. He swears up and down that he is committing to going next year.
Yeah, we heard.
And we're going to try and get two booths right next to each other as kind of a combined ham radio workbench, Halibut Electronics, and Pactena and Sierra Radio Systems, which is George's other business.
Which,
and try and put all of that together in one place. We did go to CPAC up in Seaside, Oregon. And when I say we, I mean that very loosely. I went up and got a booth for Halibut Electronics. George went up and then did George things. So he was wandering around. He wasn't in the booth at all. But he was going up and chatting with people and
shaking hands, kissing babies.
Yeah, being the celebrity that he is. But yeah, we'll be at Hamvention next year, like the whole group. Mike Walker, if you're interested in meeting other ham radio workbench hosts, Mike Walker will be at Huntsville and Ham Expo.
Oh, he is. Okay. Announce that. Yeah.
Let me
might want to confirm that one because I did ask.
Yeah. Flex will be there.
Yes.
I know that. And Mike is the one who sent the email to the Flex mailing list that Flex will be there. So I am drawing possibly an incorrect conclusion that Mike is going to be there. If Mike is not there, that's on me, not on anyone else. And I apologize, but
it's okay. Mark will answer any Flex questions you might have. Just kidding.
Sure.
They may not be 100% accurate. You know, he'll tell you your 8800s already shipped. No problem.
8800. I love it. It doesn't even exist.
I know. Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, my website is electronics.halibut.com.
Yep.
You can find me on Mastodon as @smitty@halibut.com. Or @electronics@halibut.com. If you want to follow, if you don't want my personal view on things and just want the business updates, follow @electronics. The @smitty account is very much me and my personal view on things. And some people may not like that. So by all means, use the electronics if you don't. I'm also @halibut electronics and @smittyhalibut on YouTube.
Very cool.
Those are kind of the places that I hang out.
Awesome. Well, you know, like I said, you know, if you are teetering on the fence for OHIS, anything over at Halibut Electronics, I mean, there's one thing that we didn't even talk about was the Halikey, and that's like one of your hot sellers it's been going on. You know, I've it's on my to-do list to buy. And like I said, it's going to be probably, and you know, I'm sure you won't have one at the convention, but that's okay. I can just go up to the website,
I'll have some.
Well, then there we go.
I can stuff them in.
Very cool. Well,
if you're a Flex user and you want to do CW remote, go check out Halikey. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, definitely check out his website at I just forgot just the website. Yes, exactly. Electronics.halibut.com. Please go over there, use the discount code, show some love to Mark, you know, help him out because in essence, he's creating some awesome products. We're super excited and we want to continue to support him and continue to, you know, make sure that, you know, he continues to, you know, continues to create amazing things like the contest console. I mean, that alone is just, you know, I've been waiting a long time for you to come around to, you know, to create something like that or someone. And, you know, you stepped up. So I appreciate that. So cool. All right. Well, you know, with that, let's kind of wrap up. You know, as always, you know, for those folks that have been, you know, hanging out here in the chat, you know, we appreciate you. Thanks for being part of the Live Free and Ham podcast community. You know, remember, if you haven't subscribed, you know, we always say, what you been doing? You know, come on, click that button, subscribe to our podcast, you know, go over to our website, merch, be part of the community, check out our Discord. And as always, you know, like I said, you can visit our shop at livefreeandham.com/shop, pick up our merch, Mark was commenting on the video at the very beginning of the trailer. Our bacon dipoles, Beams bacon dipoles shirt. You know, that's one of our favorite ones there. And you know, there are many others there, including the one that Mike was sporting a little earlier, which is going to be hanging around till the end of the month, and after that, it is gone. That is our hostile takeover that we did with HRCC. And you can always head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review there on iTunes. And if you're so inclined, you can click the link in our show notes for leaving us an SMS notification. We have had a bunch of people use that link, and so we say keep it on coming. And we appreciate all your feedback, good, bad, indifferent. And, you know, all the bad stuff goes to Paul anyway, since he's not here tonight. And for our show through Patreon and via Spear Links, and those are all located in our show notes. And if you want to reach any of our hosts, including our special guest as always, well, you have to, you know, we'll have to find Kenner Connect, you know, somewhere on the interweb, and don't ask me how to spell that.
No. And if you, the easiest thing, if you go to MikeN2MAK.com, there's some links there to stuff. You know, and God bless you if you can spell Kenner Connect. Then you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. So,
But Mike's got some awesome stuff on his channel for sure. And so, you know, as always, you can reach any of the hosts at livefreeandham.com. And as always, thanks again for watching. And we appreciate you all. Yeah. And with that, we will kick it off and say goodbye. Where the heck is the video here?
73, guys.
73.
Seven
I can't seem to find the video. Anyway, end stream. See you later. Yeah.